this morning at the table. Bailey? I'm Debbie Edgar. Oh, thanks, Bailey. I'm the Director of Operations here at the table. This morning, we are grateful to have Reverend Kelly Love joining us to lead worship and share a message. Pastor Kelly is part of our community of faith and has been a great support to our pastors and our community of faith in this tender time. Thank you, Pastor Kelly, for your presence with us and for your leadership among us. I invite you now to stand in body or spirit and join me in a call and response call to worship. Here in this place, we can ask big questions.
Who is my neighbor? How can I help? What do I have to learn? Where is God in it all?
Here in this place, we can ask big questions.
So may we listen, may we learn, may we stay curious, and may we look for God.
This is our invitation to lean in. Let us worship our holy God. I invite us to remain standing as our music team invites us to join our voices in a song called Somebody's Hurting My Brother.
This song is a call and response, so we'll start it off, and if you would respond with far too long, and you'll catch on as we go each verse, all right? Somebody's hurting my brother, and it's gone on far too long. Said it's gone on far too long. Said it's gone on far too long. Somebody's hurting my brother, and it's gone on far too long. And we won't be silent anymore. Somebody's hurting my sister, and it's gone on
far too long.
Said it's gone on
far too long.
Said it's gone on
far too long.
Somebody's hurting my sister, and it's gone on
far too long.
And we won't be silent anymore. Oh, somebody's poisoning the water, and it's gone on
far too long.
Oh, I said it's gone on
far too long.
Said it's gone on
far too long.
Somebody's poisoning the water, and it's gone on
far too long.
And we won't be silent anymore. Somebody's ignoring the homeless, and it's gone on
far too long.
Oh, said it's gone on
far too long.
Said it's gone on
far too long.
Somebody's ignoring the homeless, and it's gone on
far too long.
Oh, and we won't be silent anymore. No, no, and we won't be silent anymore. No, 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 no. I said we won't be silent anymore.
When we talk about God, we say, she's never met a stranger. She makes friends at the airport. She waves to babies in the checkout line. When we talk about God, we say, she'll leave the porch light on. She'll have warm bread in the oven. She'll have all the time in the world. When we talk about God, we say, she'll look you in the eye. She'll love you as you are. She'll call you by your name. When we talk about God, we never have to talk about which side of the road she might walk down. Wherever you are, that's where she'll be.
For all the strides we've made, for every blessing, we've fallen far away from truth. Turning our face away from this hurting race, we turned our face away from you. For every broken heart, for every widow, for those without shelter from the rain, we lift our eyes to you, looking for answers when we have been called to ease the pain. We want to be your hands or feet, with our words we let our actions speak. Closer to your heart, bring us back to you, bring us back to you. We want to be your hands, your feet, without words we let our actions speak. We want to be your hands, your feet, without words we let our actions speak. Closer to your us back to you. Bring 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 us back to you.
Welcome. My name is Sarneet Prasad, and I'm the Sunday morning coordinator here at the table. Let's all breathe in and breathe out together. I want to again express our gratitude for Reverend Kelly Love. Thank you for being with us this morning and for the ways you're showing up to be our pastor and guide for Pastor Matt at this time, and also for your care for entire community of faith. Thank you. We welcome those who are gathering online at table.live and also on our Church Center app. Our host today is Jay Phoenix. Today's bulletin is available with the QR code, those in the sanctuary. Those are right at the end of the benches or the pews. You can use your phone and it will take you to our website and to our bulletin, and a link will be shared for those online. If you'd like to learn more about our community of faith, we encourage you to text to new to 916-452-5016. This will allow you to connect with us through texting new, and it will link us to our pastor and to our community leaders. We offer a 6-week series called Growing in Faith. This is designed to help newcomers learn more about our community of faith and how we practice faith here at the table. We began 2 weeks Growing in Faith series last week, and registration is now open for upcoming series, which will be held in person here at the table on Tuesday evening from April 22 and 27th. We invite you to learn more and sign up on our website, thetableumc.org. I want to say thank you for each and everyone for being part of yesterday's Pastor Linda's life celebration. We had more than 500 people showing up in person. 49 volunteers sign up online, and countless people coming to me or Debbie, to each and everyone, and saying, what can we do? And thank you. Thank you for coming here, for being part, and thank you. And thank you to our vendors. Before I go and step down, I said this to myself, that Pastor Linda saw this, forthcoming, me being part of that leadership role, that I never saw that in me. So thank you, Pastor Linda. I invite us to stand in body or spirit as we continue to move in worship with our music team leading us in song called Lowly.
Consider today the best one. for the truth has met your ear. If you want to be a blessed one, the word has made it clear. You need to just lay down yourself, young one. Let out some air, I want you now. God's got your blessing, but you gotta come down and get it. The highest for the lowly. And I don't care what you say. The highest for the lowly. Grip too tight to go. Is it ever too good for one to gain the world and lose their very soul? You need to just lay down yourself, young one. Swallow your pride, I want you now. God's got your blessing, but you gotta come down and get it. The highest for the lowly. I don't care what you say. The highest for the lowly.
Come on, Lord. Mercy. That'll wake you up. Thank you, music team. Thank you, girl. Natalie, you were amazing. By the way, Brendan, you just burned all the keys off of that piano. So. Well, welcome. Welcome on this first Sunday of Lent and the dreaded first day of daylight savings time. I'm glad you all made it. And a special welcome, whether in person or online, a special welcome to Pastor Matt's family that are here this morning. Thank you so much for being here. At this time, I want to invite our children to move from the sanctuary to their godly place sanctuaries as our musicians help us with some walking music. I want to remind families that we receive an offering in godly play to support Mustard Seed School, a Montessori-based school for children, part of families that are experiencing homelessness. We have loving and professional care for our youngest children just down the hall throughout worship, and godly play takes place right now upstairs, designed for children in elementary school, kinder through the sixth grade. Our reading this morning comes from the 10th chapter of Luke's Gospel. I'll be sharing from the updated edition of the New Revised Standard Version. Now, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read here?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to vindicate himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and took off, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came upon him, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, treating him with oil and with wine. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you have spent.' Now, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" And he said, "The one who showed mercy." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise."
Good morning. I'm Kelly, as you heard. I'm always so glad to worship in this space. I have memories and history here, going back to worshiping at Central United Methodist Church when Jay Pierce was the pastor, being some part of conversation with Matt and Linda as this emerged. I also got to be, some of you heard yesterday about the Sermon Sisters, I also got to be in conversation with Linda and sermon planning. So it's always great to be here, and it's an honor to be asked to preach here, and I want to do something to help. And also, it is on my mind that I would not be doing this on this particular day if Linda had not died, and that is part of what I'm carrying. I don't have other words for that, I don't think. Would you pray with me? Dear God, I did my homework, so now I ask that you make it useful to someone else. Help this word feed and nurture faith or growth or discipleship as I offer it out to wherever it might go. Amen. Today is, as you have heard, the first Sunday in Lent. This season in the church year began this past Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, and many of us were present here or online to worship in the morning, or maybe you worshiped at Table Farm in the evening. Today, we'll spend time with the story of the Good Samaritan, exploring what it means to be a stranger or a neighbor and how to get from here to there. I love the seasons of the church year. I love this cycle of observances from Advent through Epiphany, Lent through Holy Week, Easter, Pentecost. I love the stretches of ordinary time. I love the seasons of the Christian calendar because they resonate so much with my lived experience. Our lives have seasons. Seasons of waiting and expectation, even impatience. Seasons of steady ordinariness. Seasons of contemplation and introspection. Seasons of joy and celebration. And no matter what kind of season I experience, the church has something to offer. The church offers rhythms and messages and stories and moods that help honor and make meaning out of every kind of season in life. Of course, they don't always sync, church seasons and life seasons. I remember one Sunday when my wife and I were both just feeling down. I don't remember what was going on, but we decided to go to church to worship together because we thought it might do us good to pray, to sing, to contemplate, to be among our faith community. It just so happened that it was Pentecost Sunday, and the service was one of the most unrelentingly cheerful services I've been to. It was full of joy and bright colors and New Orleans jazz and energy. It wasn't a fit in that moment for the space that I and my wife were in, but I trust that in the whole of it, the whole picture of our lived experience and the seasons of the church year, we do find that resonance. Lent is a season of 40 days, not counting Sundays. The word Lent simply means lengthen and refers to the lengthening days of spring. The 40 days represent the time Jesus spent in the wilderness preparing to begin his ministry. This year, it is a fit, I think, to travel through this wilderness time, this season of Lent, to do this together at this time, to be in this together at this time. The entire season of Lent is overshadowed by death. I don't mean just for us in this community and this year. I mean for everyone, every year. It is a death that does not have the final word, but still, the season is overshadowed with death. We begin Lent being reminded that each one of us will one day return to dust. And through the whole season, we are journeying toward the cross, drawing ever closer to the crucifixion of Jesus, to that particular shocking and devastating death. The season in general leans somber, solemn, contemplative. It offers a welcoming space for grief. A space that invites us to sit, to pause, to just be with it, to move through it in whatever way and at whatever pace the Spirit might lead us. On Wednesday, Matt wisely encouraged us to pay attention to our hearts and souls in a really tender way this Lenten season. Our Lenten worship series is inspired by A Sanctified Art and called Everything in Between. We are letting the Gospel of Luke guide us this Lent. Over the next 15 chapters and 7 weeks, we will study the stories and parables that defined Jesus' final chapter in ministry. As we explore these scriptures, we will see the ways in which Jesus' ministry was rooted in relationships that disrupted the established social, political, and religious divides of his time. Jesus intentionally highlighted the cultural and political polarities of his time in order to emphasize the radical, inclusive, and surprising love of God. And so this worship series will be an invitation to navigate the polarities in our lives with more faith, intention, and openness to be transformed. Each weekly sub-theme explores two supposed binaries. This morning we look at the supposed polarity between stranger and neighbor. We often consider these ideas, these binaries that we'll explore throughout the season, to be opposing. However, as we explore these concepts within the scriptures, we find not clearly defined, delineated opposites, but instead we find nuance and complexity. We find that these dichotomies are false. So now that we have situated ourselves in the season of Lent in general and the theme for this worship series in particular, let's turn our attention to the scripture for today, which tells the story of the Good Samaritan. This is a story in which everyone, the Samaritan, the priest, the Levite, the beaten and bloodied man, all of them would have thought of each other as strangers and not as neighbors. And yet, these are the characters Jesus chooses, Jesus offers up as he provokes us to see strangers as neighbors. I think a somewhat traditional reading of this story is to consider where we might find ourselves in the story, to ask ourselves which character we identify with. And it's a worthwhile reading, a worthwhile invitation to self-examination. Reverend Jeff Chu writes, "Candor invites us to see ourselves in each of these characters. Some days, I covet vindication of my own goodness. Other days, I have only enough courage to scuttle down the road, afraid of what might lurk in the shadows. On my better days, I'll meet others in good faith, believing their promises. On my best days, I'll encounter the world mercifully, staying tender-hearted enough to be moved with compassion, even on roads that fill others with fear." I think he's right. I think that we are not one character or another, but instead that we enter the story in different places at different moments. The context of Jesus' story here is a conversation with a lawyer, we are told, affirming that the commandments include the command to love our neighbor as ourselves. The lawyer takes it a step farther by asking, "Who is my neighbor?" It's difficult today to understand how startling it would have been in Jesus' day to hear a story that named a Samaritan as the neighbor. Jesus is trying to startle his listeners and us to get us to rethink our preconceived ideas. The story Jesus tells invites us to consider who we are on multiple levels. Who are we in relationship to risk? Who are we in relationship to human connection, where we affirm connection and where we deny connection? And maybe we are all of these characters, and maybe we enter the story in different places at different times, depending on the context we find ourselves in. Are we in a situation that evokes our confidence, or in a situation where we doubt our worth or our skill, doubt that we have anything at all to offer? Have we been recently beaten down physically or emotionally or spiritually? Are we looking for a teacher who we can ask our burning questions of? Are we afraid and preoccupied and therefore unable to turn our attention to the person in front of us? Different contexts can evoke different parts of ourselves in different moments. So maybe instead of asking yourself whether you are a Levite or a Samaritan, a lawyer or a beaten and bloodied human, maybe you might ask yourself instead, what would it take for me to see people as strangers less and less, and see people as neighbors more and more? What are the conditions that make me most able to see anyone and everyone as a neighbor? And what can I do to create those conditions? I was struck by how many stories about Linda yesterday recognized the extent to which she was predisposed to see anyone and everyone as a neighbor. One friend said, "I made unconventional choices that did not faze Linda." Another friend said, "Linda understood me and loved me anyway." And I forget now exactly the context, but someone talked about God's inescapable belonging, something Linda felt as well as believed and lived as well as taught. All means all. We all can be neighbors to one another. In God's eyes, we all belong. I humbly confess that is not my best gift. But I'll tell you one thing that my lived experience has taught me. Strangers can become neighbors, even when we don't expect it, and even when we don't intend it, and maybe don't even want it. I assume that's God's grace, a transformation that I didn't earn and didn't bring about through my own efforts. In the course of my life, my path has crossed the paths of many strangers, and yes, some of whom I confess I thought really were strange, just to pull the root word out of that word stranger. But for example, living next door to someone year after year has transformed them over time from someone I sort of warily to someone I love and whose quirks I enjoy. Being thrown together in community with people I wouldn't have freely chosen has at times borne fruit in turning strangers into neighbors with deep and meaningful connections that took me by surprise. I'm willing to bet that has even happened in the context of kitchen tables. I'm willing to bet that some folks have found themselves starting out in a kitchen table, have looked around the room and thought something like, "I'm not too sure about these strangers." And then fast forward some months or years through the process of sharing how it is with our souls, and those people who once seemed like strangers are most definitely neighbors. I think finding neighbors instead of strangers starts with proximity, though it doesn't end there. In my kitchen table this week, folks talked about how different it is to see an unhoused person downtown if you don't know them versus when you recognize them from having sat side by side over a meal at Grace in Action and you know their name and have shared one another's stories. So a first step is to move toward people, to allow ourselves to draw near to the whole variety of humans we find around us, to learn their names, to listen to their stories, and to share a bit of our stories too. I'm paying an awful lot of attention to politics lately, to what is happening in our world, to the things I hold dear that are most at risk of being dismantled, and to who is most vulnerable and most likely to be harmed. And I'm not just paying attention, I'm also trying to do something. And as I find my way in trying to do something, there's one piece of advice I read over and over and over again. Find community. Make community. Know your neighbors. Join together. We've got this entire worship series inviting us to look beyond dichotomies, polarities, binaries. But why would we want to? I think this theme acknowledges that we long for connection, in spite of all the politics and assumptions and narratives that divide us. The worship theme invites us to dig deeper into complexity and nuance, to ask questions and stay curious, and to be open to where God might meet us along the way. We are longing for something bigger than the boxes. In an uncertain world, the Samaritan's willingness to be a neighbor rather than a stranger had life or death implications. And the same is true for us. Being a neighbor starts in a place like this, in a church or a kitchen table. But if we intend to be followers of Jesus, it doesn't end there. If we pay attention to the story of the Good Samaritan and the beaten and bloodied man and the priest and the Levite and even the lawyer, then being a neighbor means looking around us. It means seeing who is there. It means moving toward the ones we see, no matter how strange, no matter how little they resemble a neighbor on the surface of it. Because the world is too hard, and there is too much at stake for us to buy into the dichotomy of stranger versus neighbor and tuck ourselves into the comfort zone of neighbors we know. The Samaritan didn't start out as a neighbor. He became one. We aren't stuck with categories or labels or binaries as they are. We get to make something new. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. talked in his final sermon about how dangerous the Jericho Road was, that road where the Samaritan stopped to help the beaten and bloodied man. But outside that sermon, in a private conversation with his friend Andrew Young, he said, "Andy, I think the Good Samaritan is a great individual, but I don't want to be a Good Samaritan. You see, Andy, I am tired of picking up people along the Jericho Road. I am tired of seeing people battered and bruised and bloody, injured and jumped on along the Jericho roads of life. This road is dangerous. I want to fix the Jericho Road. I want to pave the Jericho Road, add streetlights to the Jericho Road, make the Jericho Road safe for passage by everybody." Churches sometimes talk about service and justice as two sides of a coin. So if bandaging the beaten man's wounds is service, then paving the Jericho Road is justice. It gets to that systemic change. But that is a false dichotomy too. Those aren't distinct categories, and they aren't the whole picture. What if we don't, in the moment, have the power and the resources to pave that road? Even at those times when we are simply not in a position to pave the Jericho Road, we can still do something to make it safer. We can do everything in our power to make sure no one has to walk that road alone, which means seeing who is there, which means seeing where the danger is and who is most vulnerable. It means moving toward. It means taking some risk and assuming some burden of responsibility. But we can do that, right? Think how much lighter the burden on the Samaritan would have been if the priest and the Levite had come alongside him. Think how much safer and more cared for the beaten man would have felt if a community of three had come to him, sharing the care and support. Some of us sometimes can play a part in paving that road, but all of us, at one time or another, and maybe at many times, can walk alongside others who travel down that unsafe road. Even if it takes us off course, even if it makes our own journey longer or less convenient. Because ultimately, I am convinced that we are longing for connection that breaks open those binaries, those categories that too often divide us. I am convinced that we do want to find neighbors where we thought there were strangers. And that is the invitation before us, to reject the polarity, to dig into complexity, ask questions, and stay curious, and be open to where God might meet us along the way. God has so much more to offer than closed-up little boxes. Amen.
Teaches us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves.
But you and I know that that is often easier said than done. Fortunately for us, prayer can be a tool for transformation. When we are honest before God and each other, we open the door to growth and change. So I invite you to stand in body or in spirit, and join me in sharing with one voice our prayer of confession. Join me now so that tomorrow we will be even better at loving our neighbors as ourselves. Let us pray. Holy God, you have told us to love our neighbors as ourselves, but we get tripped up on logistics. We want to know, who is our neighbor? Do we have to love the stranger? Must we have compassion for our enemy? Forgive our human tendency to create exceptions in the face of love. Rewire our hearts so that we might see the face of a neighbor in every stranger we pass. With hope we pray. Amen. Family of faith, when we set limits on love, God loves extravagantly. When we forget that we are neighbors, God claims us as God's own. When we judge, hold back, or harm, God surrounds us with grace. There is nothing we can do or leave undone that could separate us from the love of God. This is the good news of the gospel. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us join now in the call and response. which has become the way of the church throughout the generations, to recognize and celebrate the presence of Christ within every neighbor. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share a greeting of peace with those around you.
Gracious God, we give you praise and thanks for this holy communion, the body of Christ, of your beloved Son.
Let us pray together the words Jesus taught his disciples and which have been formed and reformed through the generations. We encourage you to name and address God in the language which is most dear and true to your own heart. Eternal Spirit, earth maker, pain bearer, life giver, source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God
in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echoes through the universe, the way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the earth, your heavenly will by all created beings, your commonwealth of peace and freedom, hope and come on earth. Feed us, in the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. We reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen.
Pour out your Spirit on us gathered in many places. Pour out your Spirit on the gifts before us. Make these gifts the body and love of Christ. Make us, through them, Christ's body alive in the world. Amen.
Please be seated. all are welcome to the table of God's love in the United Methodist Church. The table is open to all people. All means all. We encourage those at home to light a candle and gather bread and juice in whatever form you might have. Please know that whether you're online or here in the sanctuary, you do not need to be a member of this church or of any denomination to participate. We are all God's children, and this is God's table, open to all. In short, you can't make a mistake. We will have two stations here in the front of the sanctuary and one in the back of the sanctuary. After breaking off a piece of the bread and dipping it into the juice, please make your way around the sides to pray with candles for as long as you might desire, or return to your pews when you are ready. Let us move together with tender care in this divine dance.
This is the body of Christ and bread of life, broken for you. This is God's love poured out for you. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
Loving God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery through which you reveal yourself to all of creation. In this bread and cup, may your peace make us one and call us to love one another. In the name of Jesus Christ, our hope. Amen. In addition to responding to God's love by coming to the table, we invite you to join us in giving generously to support the ministries at the table. The generosity of our community allows us to lean in and to God's unfolding call on our lives and align more deeply with God's healing love and justice. We have Rise Up Bread available just outside the sanctuary doors. If you would like to learn more about our community of faith and connect with others, we encourage you to sign up today to join our upcoming Growing in Faith series, which will take place here at the table on Tuesday evenings from April 22nd to May 27th. Details are available on our website, thetableumc.org. I invite us now to stand, embody your spirit. Our musicians will send us out this morning to a song from Solabel called Give Out Your Love.
When I was a young boy, my mama taught me a lot. One of the things she said to me was, give all the love you got. Now I've gone out in the world, helping where I could. Love doesn't discriminate, my mama don't think it should. If you want a world that's filled with peace and harmony,
now as you leave this place, may you find God in every messy middle. May you know that the world is bigger than two sides. May you trust that you are made in the image of God, and therefore you contain multitudes. So may you move through this world with an open heart, with a curious mind, and with the confidence that you do not go alone. God is with you in the mountains, in the valleys, and everywhere in between. Believe that good news and go in peace.